This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. We are talking about feminism. Couple of points, and then I would like to pass it on to a lady who is talking about feminism. She is a matchmaker, and she has identified that there are some expressions of feminism are a very big problem, and it is something that is potentially destroying society. It's destroying society. Now, a couple of thoughts, you know, on this subject. One of the things which I think is a big problem is that our society has been changing over the last 20, 30 years to a great extent. Sort of values which were held dear for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, have been thrown overboard, and some new values have been put into it, all in the name of tolerance, all in the name of some concept of equality, and may I say, very often a misunderstood concept of equality. Okay, one of the thing is the whole male-female thing, which, again, 20 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, I lived in a society where it was clear there's mankind is divided into male and female. The division of sexes is fairly straightforward. The way to live and the way to move forward is that a man and a woman come together, they decide to spend their lives together, and they build a family. And then as they build this family, they produce the next generation, and so it goes on and on. 20 years down the line, we've got 60-odd genders, I think 67 genders or something like that, where everything is redefined. And also, if you're not quite happy with your sex, for example, you think as a child that you are really a girl or really a boy, and yet your biological anatomy seems to declare the opposite, then nowadays you are free to change it and to change your gender, change your sex. So from initially considering this to be a deviation from the norm, and the lawmaker came in and said, you know, if somebody has got these issues and has decided to, you know, change their sexuality or their sex, that they are protected. Yeah. So in other words, you have to give them, you can't deny them work on the basis of what they've done to their bodies or their preferences. That's on one side. But then on the other side, it's now gone this way that if, for example, in America, in California, there's a law which is in the process of being pushed through. If anybody finances or offers a therapy which will allow a person who is homosexual to become a heterosexual, that this is now against the law. This is now against the law. So you are put in a position where you have to fear to be prosecuted under the Consumer Protection Act. And again, dubious science is quoted and so on. In Canada, if a child believes that a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy or something like that, and they want to go for a sex change and they want puberty blockers or anything like that, if the parent is trying to dissuade the child from going down this route, the children are taken away now. And this is sort of the world we're living in today. There's something which has gone dramatically wrong. Okay, anyway, that's just one aspect of it. We're going to carry on, and we're going to zoom into one aspect, which is feminism. And I mentioned this in the last talk. A friend of mine, he said, if he had to, you know, find a spouse today, he would really struggle. Because if you ask a spouse out or you ask her for a phone number, it could be construed as sexual harassment. It's a big problem. It's a really big problem. And so feminism has gone from something where you might have a justification where women were possibly disadvantaged in certain areas, where women were maybe oppressed, you know, some people would put it this way, and where something wasn't quite right, and where this has been sort of sorted, and then it went to another extreme where feminism is now pressing for the dominance of women and the rejection of the male gender. This is sort of the extreme form of feminism we have today, and what this is leading to. I had to smile when I saw this cheek and ton that whatever's happening today with feminism and men pretty much being fed up with this in the West and saying, right, you know, I don't have anything to do with this. Somebody made the statement, and he says that in about 25 years, there will be a lot of happy cuts around. Because what we will find that that a lot of women will not find a spouse who is willing to put up with this. And if they have a spouse, very often, with their attitude and their mentality, they're leading straight to a breakdown of relationships, and we find that this could be a big problem. Okay, let's listen to this lady. The lady is called Diana Lorraine. She's a matchmaker, a relationship sort of advisor, and the interview is from a show called, I have to look it up, it's Jesse Lee Peterson. And he's got a YouTube channel called The Foreign State where you can look at the full interview. We'll just be listening to a couple of excerpts, but I think some of the points she's making, they're very valuable and worthwhile to be listened to. You're listening to The Christian War Room.
What's a good conversation for a man with a woman?
You know, a conversation that has some level of depth to it, and, you know, you can talk about current events without her not knowing anything that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And also conversations that don't end in this kind of combative one-upmanship that a lot of women like to seem to present these days with men. A man just wants to feel, at the end of the day, a lot of times supported and, you know, and empowered and have conversations that are inspiring and that leave feeling good rather than leave feeling like, you know, they're competing with someone.
What happened to women, and not all, but most, I'll say age 55 and down, they seem to be empty and shallow. And
I don't know why I laughed about that, but it's true.
And
it's
and
a laughter recognition.
And demanding, and they have issues. What happened to them?
One word, feminism. I would say modern feminism has really thrown a big monkey wrench into this whole relationship between men and women, unfortunately. And you know who's hurting the most? Women are at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Men are hurting a lot because of feminism, and I'm sure we'll get into that.
Right.
But women are, and they're not realizing. The thing is, they're not realizing that they're actually the ones that are hurting
right.
themselves. And, you know, they're striving so much to be equal with a man in every way, shape, or form. And they're actually ruining the very things that men used to revere about them and
yes,
used to
right.
cherish about them.
Yep.
And they're making it not just about equality, but about superiority. I want to be superior to you.
Yeah.
Or I want to be successful at the expense of you.
That
you
is
know,
so
that
true.
Someone has, it's a, they turn into a zero-sum game, and someone has to be superior. The women think it's them, or they're taught that it needs to be them, you know, with all this women is the future rhetoric. And, you know, who wants to, what kind of a man finds that attractive?
That's
you know,
right.
let me date like someone who wants to be my boss or someone who wants to be better than me. They compete all day long in the workplace. Why do they want to come home to a relationship that a woman is demanding and demeaning like that also?
Do women know that this is, they are the problem for the most part?
That's the thing. Most of them do not.
They
and
do
in
not
fact,
know.
I will probably lose most of my female friends after hearing this interview. And I find, you know, women, not only do they not realize it, they don't want to hear it. When I present this argument to women, you become the black sheep with
yeah.
women. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear at all that they have anything to do with their current state of singledom.
And why is that?
Well, a lot of it is because what they're taught. You know, they're taught from a young age, and in these kind of bullcrap studies like gender studies and women's studies, no offense to someone who went through those programs, but, you know, a lot of it is really just teaching you that the patriarchy is prevalent and it's bad, and, you know, men are the oppressors and you are the oppressed. And so when you just get, you know, taught that, indoctrinated with that, they don't want to hear any other way. They hear this gender wage gap.
That's
they can't
amazing.
See that they're actually the ones perpetuating this animosity between men and women, because that's what it's become. It's not just
sure is.
We became equal to men a long time ago, and now it's turning into this very competitive state of animosity. We're supposed to be friends. We're not supposed to be enemies.
That's right. How else have they hurt the man and woman relationship? Are there other things they've done?
Oh, yes. They have stamped out, or tried to stamp out, what beautiful gifts men have to offer that are unique.
Yeah.
The differences between men and women are beautiful, and they were designed that way for a reason.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, men by nature, you know, part of what their gifts are is they tend to be protective. They tend to protect those things that they care about and that they love.
That's so true.
Right?
Yes. They are born that way. They're not acting out. It's in their nature to
totally.
Be that way.
Totally. It's a beautiful thing. And they also tend to want to provide, give some sort of providership. You know, they kind of want, it makes them feel good intrinsically to take care of and to provide and be kind of the man, you know.
And women have been taught not to let a man provide for you or take care of you.
Right.
It seems they have been made to believe it's like a put down,
mm-hmm.
as though the man thinks he's better than the woman. And that's
right.
not the case at all.
Right, exactly. It's so funny. He feels good doing it. And it's out of love and it's out of care. Another thing is that men, you know, have historically done all the dirty jobs, you know, the jobs that no one talks about, working in the oil rigs.
That's
and,
right.
You know, just risking their lives every day in the military, at war.
Working on cars.
Working on cars.
I would never, ever, ever, but never date a woman that works on a car.
You know, if I even said that, it's a man's job. You know how much flack I would get? But it's true.
It's a man's job.
You know, yeah.
And then when a man works on a car, they, you know, where is that, a shop or somewhere? Mm-hmm. He leaves, he's sweaty.
Covered in oil.
And, right. Who would want a sweaty,
right,
odor-smelling woman to come home?
Right.
You know, you don't want that. You want a woman beautiful, and smell good, and look good.
Yeah, but it wasn't because men wanted to oppress women.
Nothing like that.
It wasn't because men wanted to have power and control over women. It's because they were trying to shield women from these dirty jobs and from these very, very savory, very risky, and sometimes even really dangerous jobs.
If
and
you
women
have,
don't understand that.
If you ever catch me with a woman that works at an automobile company or something, I want you to counsel me.
I will.
Yeah, so something has gone wrong.
I will come. I'll do an intervention.
Interesting stuff there from Diana Lorraine, the relationship advisor there. A big question as well is we have suffered feminism for a long time, and what we've been sort of indoctrinated with, probably not that much my generation, but the generation coming after me, is the so-called new man, a man who's very sensitive, you know, who doesn't show strength, who doesn't show leadership. And that is pretty much sort of the whole ethos of feminism, to have strong women and weak men. Yeah, that's pretty much what they seem to suggest or seem to promote. It's interesting as well what she has got to say on this subject. Tune in, listen to what she has to say.
You know, like if I'm having a bad day, that you can't share anything like that to a woman. She'll think of you as weak.
Yeah, she tends to think of a man as being weak when he does that.
Well, I think that it's important to build the backbone, too. You know, what if you're obviously only talking about that kind of thing and you don't have a backbone to back it up, then yes, then she's going to have a weak picture of you. But if you convey yourself as a strong man, you know, in those other areas that I talked about, and you're bold and you're strong, you definitely can get, you know, leeway to be vulnerable and to also express how you feel about her. Now, again, it's in reason. You know, sometimes guys just go all out expressing how they feel about
her.
Too much, but they didn't create enough respect. So it's important to know how much is, you know, there's a balance there.
MGTOW, men going their own way. That is the next big thing which has come up. It seems to be a recent phenomenon when I was looking into this, it's only like a few years old, but it's kind of a movement where people make a point and they say we are fed up with this, you know, what's presented to us and what's being presented to us over these last 10, 20 years, that men are all substandard and women are the be-all and end-all. And there's this aspect of being fed up, just being fed up with it. What is wrong with the way it was running in the previous generation or the generation before that? Yeah. Couples were happy, they stayed together, they supported one another, and the vast majority, they made it. They made it. Yeah. And most people assumed their responsibilities. Men did the stuff they were supposed to be doing. Women did the stuff they were supposed to be doing. And kids the same. It's obviously it's not as clear cut as what it sounds like, but it's certainly not as disastrous as what we find today in society, where it's 2 out of 3 marriages do not last. The figures are not quite correct. Mostly, I think first time married, it's about half and half. Again, go back about 20, 30 years and look at that generation. And it just didn't take place. It was the exception. It wasn't the norm of people splitting up a few years down the line. Okay, let's see what Lorraine has got. Mrs. Lorraine has got to say on this whole issue of MGTOW.
There's an organization or a movement called MGTOW.
MGTOW.
You heard of that?
Yes.
Men going their own way. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that group, or men who are doing that?
It's a hard thing to admit, but it's understandable why they would choose to go their own way. And that's what's scary, is there's actually a rational reason why they would do that. Mm-hmm. If you're being told all your life that you are bad and wrong just for being a man, and that you have toxic masculinity for being a man, and that, you know, women, there's this famous feminist expression that, you know, a woman needs a man just like a fish needs a bicycle. And that men are basically useless.
Oh, boy.
And that men are terrible, and that, you know, women are superior. How would you feel? I mean, you know, you're not going to feel that attracted to a woman or care to be loving towards her or romantic towards her. So this men going their own way movement is a reaction to that. I really think it's a rational reaction to that. Men are finally like, hey, we've given you all you want. You know, you are equal in every way. And then you're still shaming us.
Yeah.
So for a lot of the men, and a lot of them have gotten screwed over in terrible relationships and divorces and gotten their kids taken away from them. So it's an understandable response. Now, I do think there's another option, though. There's a third route. I don't think they need to just hang up the shingle on women and quit women altogether. That's not being part of the solution. There's a lot of women out there that still are more traditional women, that they are good women. They love men. They respect men. They appreciate the differences between men. And they're out there. You know, it's not right to put all women in this one basket.
I think rather than going so far crazy on this thing, mm-hmm. I think men need to look at their weakness and overcome their weakness and start dealing with women in the way that a man should deal with a woman.
Right.
Then they wouldn't end up in these bad situations.
Exactly.
Rather than running away from it.
Exactly.
Oh, let me ask, what is love?
What is love?
What is love?
I think love is mutual respect and mutual, it's a decision. I mean, first and foremost, it's a feeling. You know, it's a feeling that you are attracted to this person and that you feel passion for this person and care.
Is that a faint love? I mean, that's the thing that brings you together, but it doesn't last.
Yeah, that's where, you know, it starts with a feeling and then it lasts with a decision.
Okay.
It's a commitment. It's a decision to commit to each other and stay in love. Even when you don't feel love sometimes or some days, or for some couples, some months will go by where they don't feel that feeling of love, but the decision that you love, that you respect and care and love this person so much that you're going to be together, you're going to stay together. And love takes work. It also, by the way, you can recreate those feelings of love and that honeymoon feeling of passion. You can create that over time. A lot of people have this myth that it goes away after a couple years. It doesn't have to go away.
I noticed that a lot of men are spending money on women that they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they sometimes allow the woman to come live with them, or they go live with her.
Mm-hmm.
They buy cars and clothes for the woman and take her on trips. personally, I think that's the wrong thing to do because mm-hmm. it's not your wife.
Yeah.
And then you're setting a woman up to use you.
Right.
Because she's learning about you based on material things mm-hmm. and not who you really are.
Right.
And so I think that the best you should do for a woman while dating is buy a nice little dinner, mm-hmm. you know, at McDonald's or Jack in the Box or maybe go to a movie. Do you think men should be spending money on women prior to marriage?
I feel the same way about, do I think a woman should be kind of giving up all her goods prior to marriage?
No, right.
No, I don't think so. I think there's certain perks that happen in the marriage or in a space of commitment. And I think that a man should do things that are, you know, a fit to his lifestyle.
Right.
If he normally goes out to nice dinners or travels or something, then it would feel fitting to take her along with him.
Really? And should he pay for it?
I think that, you know, it depends on the income differential, but that's part of the risk in love. You know, that's part of the risk that happens before a committed relationship or marriage. You both are kind of risking. You're risking emotions. You're risking and investing money. You know, you're risking and investing things. And she's risking and investing her body, and so is he.
Oh, Lord.
So you can't get a refund for the sex, you know, if you break up. And that's why I think you should reserve some things, too, for marriage, so that you don't get bitter afterwards and say, well, I did all this with the expectation that you were not going to dump me. Because again, what's the perk in marriage then if you're doing everything that you would normally do as a married couple but without marriage?
In a marriage, there is an order where the man is the head of his wife.
Mm.
That's not happening today. And as a result, a lot of marriages are not lasting because the order is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I believe that, why do we mess with something that's not broken? I mean, I think that the man is like the captain and a woman is the co-captain.
Yes.
You know, they're both important.
Right.
They're both valuable. They're both equal in value, but they just have slightly different roles. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
It works like yin and yang. It's harmonious.
Right.
And a man should be the head of the house. I think it's a best role. The woman is like the supportive role. But you know, as long as that's not abused, as that power is not abused, then it works perfectly, I think.
And he's not the head of the house, he's the head of his wife.
Yeah.
His wife.
Right.
I got to ask you this. What do you think about a man that, quote unquote, is a stay-home mother, a mom, or whatever he calls himself?
You know,
can you get any weaker than that?
I have this initial visceral reaction for some reason when I think of that. And I don't know why. And I know it's probably my own bias.
Because it's
wrong. It is kind of wrong.
You would not want to be a woman.
There's the respect issue, right? Yeah. I can't imagine coming home every day from working all day and then I see my man taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't feel it. And I guarantee if a woman's honest, every woman will say the same thing. And I think it's just even how attraction works, we want to respect a man, we want to admire him, we want to look up to him.
Yes.
So how is that going to work when we're coming home and we're seeing him do these, you know, traditionally feminine duties? So why,
so
I don't know why we want
to
mess with the
say,
word.
You're able to say all these things on your channel?
Yes.
Masturbation channel?
I lose a little bit of female fans, but there's women that think how I think and they are coming out of the woodwork. Mm. And my goal is to be kind of a beacon for them and have the women all over the world that think this way, that are afraid to say it, but, you know, but start aligning with this group so that they can, you know, also get more men too, you know, men who think this way.
Tell the folks how to get your books to your site, all the stuff, how to get in contact with you.
Well, I have a book being published this summer along with a podcast calling Making Love Great Again. And that's going to be available on my website at deannalorraine.com.
Okay.
So go to my website at deannalorraine.com. And also my YouTube channel is Deanna Lorraine. I have a lot of videos that I talk about these kinds of issues.
Yeah, that was Deanna Lorraine. I left in the little bit of advertising for her. It's just excerpts taken from a conversation here on the Christian Ballroom. Now, this is really important. Just to make the point, the Roman Empire went down. I've just been looking at St. Augustine. And he was talking about his life and about the stuff he was going through. And it was during his lifetime that the Roman Empire lost it. And there were two aspects towards the end of the Roman Empire. One of them was that the family broke down. People were giving in to their lusts and were no longer facing up to the responsibility. So that's the pagan side. Even though at the 4th century there was a great number of Christians, but within one generation of Christianity becoming the state religion, a lot of false Christians or nominal Christians, cultural Christians, who were Christian by name in order to get some advantages, but pagan at heart, moved into the church. And when I look at our generation today, I look at our age and our times, I can see the same development. We have got a lot of cultural Christians, and we've got a lot of people who have turned their back on Christianity and have gone back into pagan religions, into secularism, into anything but the truth. And in the same way, they have abandoned traditional values, of maintaining and building strong families. Okay, when I look at the West, and Tacitus is a Roman writer, he described the German nations, which, pretty much the West today. So we are looking at the Brits, the Germans, the Gauls, the French, and so on. And what he was describing was that the family units were really strong, really strong. And that was, which was a big problem for Rome, because people would fight not just for themselves, but they would fight for their wives and their kids. And very often the wives, they came to the battle line to make sure the men were fighting properly. And if they didn't, they were in trouble. And very often, Tacitus describes that battles which were believed to be winning on the side of Rome were turned around, and the Romans were beaten and had to withdraw. So, that is, even when we go into the old German Empire. Now, today what we see is the downfall of the West, the decline, unless something happens. Diana Lorraine had some very good suggestions, going back to traditional values and going back to, which I would say, biblical values, where the man assumes his responsibility and the wife, in the same way, assumes her responsibilities in a divine manner, in a manner, as God has suggested it to us. So I think that is very important. So let's make a difference in our own lives. And if you're a man, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Be a good leader. Be passionate about your family, your kids. If you are a woman, respect your husband and give him a chance to lead and encourage him in his duty as a leader, as a protector, and as a provider, and give him some leeway. Don't give him a hard time about it all, but support him in his function. In the same way, if you are the husband, appreciate your wife for all the stuff she does and adore her, tell her all the good stuff, that she's beautiful, that she is amazing, that she's a great caregiver, that she is a great soul. And that is important. Let's work on this. Let's get families, make families great again, to use this slogan, which has been spread around in a different context. But that is our future. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the secular people who have tried for the last 40 years to destroy the family. And they have been very successful at it. Lord, we just pray, give us a wisdom, give us the guidance, and Lord, wake us up to what has been happening to our families, Lord, to our relationships. I pray, Lord, that divorces will be averted and that the family will be strengthened in the West, and that we will once again revive before you come back and before Lord, this time comes to an end. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.